Live from Cap Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. Governor Newsom has two more weeks to sign or veto a stack of bills sitting on his desk after a marathon legislative session that went into overtime to get bills through to Newsom. Several still need to be decided on, some more controversial than others. One of them, now officially on the books, will allow county judges to order treatment for people suffering from addiction and severe mental illness. Another could up the minimum wage for fast food workers to $22. Meantime, as we head into election season, there is growing discussion over the lack of debate scheduled between candidates up and down the ballot. Lots to discuss about what's happening at the state capitol. We're joined by Cap Radio's politics reporter, Nicole Nixon, for the very latest. Good morning, Nicole.
Good morning.
Okay, so August 31st was the legislative deadline for lawmakers at the capitol to get their bills passed, sent to the Governor Newsom's desk. How many bills made it through, roughly?
I believe there were more than 900 bills on Newsom's desk when the session ended a couple weeks ago. That is of like 2,000 bills that were introduced this year. And of course, he signed some before, you know, August rolled around. And he has a month to sign or veto these bills into law, that deadline coming up September 31st.
Yeah, we're about a halfway through a month, you know, that the governor has, give or take, to sign or veto bills into law. Do we have a sense of how many he's actually taken action on?
Yeah, the total that I did a few days ago before another batch, I haven't had the time to add those in yet, but it was about three dozen, maybe four or five dozen.
Out of like 900?
So we should see some activity ramp up very quickly.
Reminds me in college, you know, when I'm preparing for a final or something. Okay, well, let's talk about some of the ones that he did sign into law yesterday, Care Court.
Yeah, so as we heard, you know, in the newscast and at the top of the show here, this would allow county judges to, well, it would require counties to set up systems and allow judges to order civil through the civil system. So it wouldn't be like enforceable by throwing people in jail if they don't comply, but to order treatment for people with addiction or severe mental illness. The governor has really been framing this as a new way of doing things. He's saying that existing things like conservatorships are not working. And, you know, you walk past and you drive past people living on the streets and you see them day after day. And many counties and cities feel their hands are tied. They really can't do much to help these people. So the governor is hoping that, you know, this will be a new way of doing things and a new solution. But, you know, as we've talked about on this show, a lot of pushback to this idea from civil rights groups and disability rights groups.
Yeah. And even some counties saying they don't have the resources as they stand to scale up and shoulder this additional responsibility.
Right. In the last few days of the session, there was, you know, there were some changes to this. I think some funding was promised to counties that, you know, for help setting up their own systems. But the issue that remains here is that this country and this state is already facing a massive shortage of workers in this behavioral health and mental health treatment spaces. And so being able to recruit all these new people to provide this treatment is a very big question mark. Mm.
Despite all the debate that was going on about Care Court, I mean, was yesterday pretty much a formality? We kind of knew that he obviously had the votes and that it's something that he wanted.
Right. Yes. It was a chance for him to get up, you know, in front of the cameras. This was his idea from the beginning and say, like, here we are. What was interesting to me is that this bill got through the legislature with a lot of support on both sides of the aisle, even though there were some Democrats that, you know, expressed skepticism, you know, repeating the concerns that civil rights groups have about its actual implementation. And so now the timeline is there are seven counties that have to roll it out as sort of like a pilot group within the next year. And the rest of California's 58 counties will be on the hook to, you know, roll out their own programs by 2025.
Mm. On the flip side, does it strike you that the governor vetoed safe injection sites, something that he indicated years before that he was open to?
Yeah. And we can talk about this a little bit later, but you know, there's this issue or this idea conversations that the governor might be seeking a presidential run eventually and how this played into that. Yeah, we've talked about the safe consumption bill, which would have allowed San Francisco, Oakland, LA to set up sites where people can go to use illegal drugs and be under medical supervision. And the arguments were that, you know, this could reduce overdose deaths by having medical personnel, you know, naloxone on hand to help people not overdose. But the governor said that he had some real concerns that this wouldn't actually do anything to combat addiction, a huge issue that's, you know, getting worse in this state. And yeah, I mean, a comment I heard is that if this passed, like the headlines would write themselves about, you know, how this would basically be state-sanctioned illegal drug use, and you know the governor would basically be signing off on that.
You know, another parallel I see when it is when it comes to labor rights. So there is a fast food worker wage bill. Look, unpack that for us.
Yeah, so this is a bill that would have, or he signed it. So he signed it on Labor Day, immediately after some national groups filed intent to seek a referendum on this. So It's a bit in flux now, but it sets up this fast food council. And the idea is that fast food workers can unionize right now, but, you know, it's hard in a store. When I've talked to fast food workers, they're working different shifts. There are very few of them on site at any given time. It's hard for them to, you know, organize. And so this would create a state-run council in the, you know, in one of the Department of Industrial Relations and bring workers, labor advocates, franchise owners, and the corporations, the big companies like McDonald's, to a table to decide on things like working conditions and a minimum wage. It would allow them to seek a higher minimum wage up to $22 an hour. So that was a huge concern for the franchise owners and for the companies that are worried about how it would affect their costs and their own bottom lines. Like I said, there's a referendum filed against it now, so they have a few weeks here to collect signatures. If they get enough signatures, around 600,000 by December, then it will go before the law will be suspended. It won't actually take effect, and voters will decide on it in 2024.
So still lots for you to follow, Nicole. And then on the flip side, again, I want to get into UFW. They embarked on a 335-mile pilgrimage. There are still people with UFW that are demonstrating at the state capitol. The governor hasn't officially vetoed it yet, but it's kind of been assumed, or he's indicated that he doesn't support the bill as it stands.
Yeah, he has said, you know, he vetoed this measure last year or earlier this year, and it was reintroduced, and he said that, you know, his concerns weren't addressed. This is an interesting one because President Biden weighed in on it earlier this week or last week and basically urging Newsom to sign it, which you don't see that often. but, you know, Newsom was asked about that in an interview this week and basically said, well, that's one guy's opinion, and my concerns weren't addressed. So I wouldn't be surprised if he does veto this. And we may see another version slightly tweaked next year.
Any other bills at the Capitol watchers like you are interested in?
There are some big housing bills to streamline housing construction on commercial land. That's, you know, housing's always a very tricky issue in the state capitol. But this would basically streamline permitting and reduce a lot of that sort of bureaucratic red tape, as housing advocates describe it, to build housing, you know, close to transit, in underused commercial spaces like these dilapidated strip malls. They'll build apartments on top of those. And yeah.
Yeah, you have a lot to sift through. There's still hundreds left to be signed or veto. You know, for months now, there's been speculation about Governor Newsom's future. We've talked about it on Inside as well. But when you look at the bills that he's vetoed, will veto, or has signed, which ones stand out as bills that really play into this narrative that he may be seeking a higher office?
Yeah, I mean, we talked about that safe consumption bill, a good example of this, where he, you know, basically kind of joined Republicans in his skepticism of this idea, vetoed that bill. On the flip side, I think the bill like Care Court is a good example for him facing this issue that everybody in the country knows about California's homelessness problem. If he runs for the presidency, he's facing very hard questions about this. And this is an example of him, an example where he can point to something concrete and say, look what we're doing. Look at this the difference this is making. Now, of course, a lot of questions, and there's going to be a lot of scrutiny on how this actually plays out and whether it actually helps people. And then I think, you know, there have been a lot of bills this year about gun control and bills to expand abortion access, kind of the same thing. These have been in a national debate over these issues for a long time. It's really ratcheted up this year. But signing these bills is a chance for him to argue to Californians and potentially people in other states that he is looking at these issues and he is trying to come up with solutions.
Yeah, I mean, he's had political ads running in other states, you know, Florida particularly. Exactly. In a few minutes, we're going to unpack the state's new abortion access website for services and resources. And this is for people who aren't only Californians, but also for people seeking an abortion out of the state. I guess what's the bigger picture here when it comes to a political strategy, if any, for Newsom by announcing the launch of this new website?
Well, this is interesting because there is a bill that requires a website like this, but he has not signed it yet. So for him to, you know, push this out before he actually signed that bill, you know, it came the same day that Senator Lindsey Graham announced that he would be introducing a federal abortion ban. It's a way for him, again, to differentiate California from red states that are cracking down on abortion, filling a gap that he sees sort of in loud vocal leadership at the national level on abortion and, you know, providing actual services to people that might need it. I think Newsom really sees himself or wants to continue to emerge as a national leader on issues like this. And, you know, as to the website itself, it has information about what your reproductive rights are in California. There's a tool to help you find an abortion provider. That bill that he has not signed yet includes, you know, would require to have links to resources like abortion funds. I expect him to sign that bill. That will be part of it eventually.
Nicole Nixon is Cap Radio's politics reporter. You're listening to Inside on your NPR station, Cap Radio. I'm Vicky Gonzalez.